Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So we thank you, Father, for what you're doing among us. We pray that it would multiply and that we would not try to contain it or control it, and that we would see many come to know you, your salvation, your healing power, and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Someone introduce a good friend to you. It's good to see Darby this morning. You want to come up?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of fun stories. So the funnest story I can think of, I guess I shouldn't tell him that one.
You can tell him.
No, it's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. Well then definitely tell them.
No, it's not that kind of embarrassing.
Oh, okay.
All right, so you guys know Darby. Some of you guys know Darby. Darby is a good friend of this house. He's been a good friend of Kat and I's. We met him kind of traveling around doing worship. He does a lot of house speaking. And recently I've seen him at some quite larger churches.
Yeah.
That I'm pretty impressed and happy the Lord's opening that door for you. Yeah, let's get you turned on.
I think I...
Just touch it, I think. We don't normally use the mic, so...
Not that I need
you
it.
You turned it off.
Oh, okay.
You don't think
you need it? There it goes. Whoa. Whoa. The great Oz has spoken... So we have a story or no?
No.
Okay.
Not one. I'll tell.
All right.
You can tell me.
I love stories.
Yeah.
All right.
Let you down. Sorry.
Well, thanks for the intro. That's a great transition. I love it. Hey, this is family, right?
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, it's just like I feel like when I come with you guys and hang out with you guys, I feel like I'm in a living room more than just a church. And that's just the way I look at it. It's the way you guys, I don't know how many years I've been coming and being with you guys, but it's been at least probably 6 years, I think. Yeah, at least 6 years. Well, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get started. So Holy Spirit, thank you so much. We already know that you're here and that you are revealing to us who Jesus is. And Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open. I pray that we'll be encouraged when we leave this place. And I pray that, God, that we'll get closer to stepping into the mission that you called us to. And you're just welcome. We so love you and we're so grateful. We know that you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So it's interesting. Every time I go to speak somewhere, I've been doing this for probably 9 years now, traveling, and there's been a lot of shifts and changes, and I really have been thinking, and probably partially because of where I'm at in life, turning 46 May 30th, and I feel like with everything going on in the world, a lot has been brought up in me. And so I'm going to be really honest and raw. Like, I am that way anyway, but I'm going to share some of my process and the things that I've been working through, and hopefully you'll get something from it. You know, I was raised in a church that didn't believe in miracle signs and wonders, or if they did believe it, it was in the past. And for those who don't know my story, the very short version of this is I got to a place where I was so disappointed with what I was seeing in the church and so hurt by the church. I ended up like not wanting to go to church and stopped going completely. And I was in Bible college. And, in order for me to be in the Bible college, the prerequisite is I had to be in church. And I was just, I was already checked out. Like, my classes were, I was failing classes. I was doing all the wrong things, and got to a place where I just ended up leaving. And was at that time, the school did have me go to this church, and they said if you don't go to this go to a church, then you're gonna get kicked out. So I just prolonged that inevitable thing that was going to happen, and God became a part of this church, and I actually felt like for the first time I was at home. It was very different though for me because I was raised Baptist, so like raising hands was so weird. Like I didn't really understand it. Like I remember the first time that I saw hands going up, and like I remember like going into this church that was in a gym, and so I thought that was so weird. We're inside of a gym, and then there was rock music. See, we didn't have rock music. Like we had like pianos and stuff and organs. So there was a guitar and drums. And so that for me was very strange and very odd. But I remember seeing like the hands go up and I was like, okay, this is a weird time for a question, you know? And the weird thing was, is like for some reason, I think there was like a ceiling somewhere because their hand would only go up here to their shoulder. So, and then I saw the whole room like put their hand up. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, what's going on? And then the music crescendoed, and then all of a sudden you see both hands go up. I'm like, okay, this is kind of strange. But anyway, I made it through the worship service and listened to the message and was very encouraged. And I finally felt like I was in a place that was home to me. And I ended up working with the youth group. Now, even though I was still struggling in Bible college, I felt accepted in the church that I was a part of, and I started to grow. Unbeknownst to me, there were other things that were going on in leadership, and the church ended up splitting. And I ended up going and working with the pastor, thinking that was God's will, and it became very controlling and very difficult. And I got to a place where I was given an ultimatum from the pastor. It's my way or the highway is what he told me. And he told me to either confront my father because of the way he didn't provide for us as a family, that if I didn't confront my father, that I had to leave the church. And so I said, see ya. Now, I didn't tell it to him his face because I'm afraid of the guy. He's like 6'6", and I was a lot skinnier back then and didn't have a lot of weight to pull behind whatever I had to do. You know, if I had to pull punches or something. Not that I do that because I'm a pacifist. Well, kind of. Pacifist. But anyway, so basically I got to a place where I ended up leaving the church and completely went against everything that I ever learned in the church. For a small period of time, I was like, I am an atheist. And so I started from ground zero. I'm like, I'm an atheist. That's where I'm starting. And I was not a good atheist, not very good at it because I was an atheist for about 6 months, but the reality was is that I could not deny when I looked at creation that it just happened by chance, and I had all these other things. But I got to a place where I completely unraveled, and back then, I had, when I had an issue with someone, I would run. Like, I would, like, if I had a girlfriend that I had a problem with, I would run. I would just like, bye, there's plenty more out in the sea. I got plenty more to go. So I'd go and find another girl. And then I noticed like some patterns in my life. Wherever I would go, there was drama. And I was like, what in the world's going on? All these churches are crazy. And all these girls that I'm dating are cat ladies. Like, I don't know why. Now, if you don't know what a cat lady is, anyone that has more than 4 cats is a cat lady. So if you have more than 4 cats, we're going to have deliverance afterwards. So there's something about the number of cats. After 4, there's something's a little off there. Now, if you have cats that are outside, now there are some rules to this. If you have cats outside versus inside, that might save you. But I don't know why I saw time and time again crazy cat lady. Anyway, so I noticed these patterns in my life. Like, if I had a problem with someone, I would bolt. If I had a problem, anywhere I'd go. And so it took a little while because it just takes me a little while of certain things. And I come to the realization that the thing that was in the equation every time was me. And I was the constant variable.
So I started to like look at my life and say, what is inside of me? Now, some people might be mad about that, like, no, all these people are bad. Listen, I'm just saying this, like, all conflict really starts with two parties, and whether you like it or not, like, you are partially at fault for whatever conflict you deal with, and you take ownership. That's the only way that you can get through life and forgiveness, even if they don't deserve it. Anyway, but it took me a while. And so I had this thought one day, and it was a very interesting thought because I thought at first I would not have equated to God, but the thought was, do I need to be ruled by my emotions and thoughts? Really simple thought, right? Like, sounds almost stupid. Some of you guys out there are like, what are you talking about? Like, dude, like, no, like, I just thought if I felt something, I just had to feel it. I'm mad, right? I'm really mad right now. And it's something interesting about saying that I'm mad makes it worse, you know? It's like, I'm really mad. And then what happened was I noticed that, I noticed that in my life, like, I was triggered. I had, like, if someone did something to me and all of a sudden I'm lashing out, I'm like, what is going on with you, dude? Like, I'm talking to myself, like, and then I started, like, I wasn't going towards the Christian way, but I studied ethics and philosophy. And then, like, by nature, I'm an artist, so, like, I'm a painter, and I love storytelling and everything. But I would go to the art section usually when I go to Barnes & Noble. Well, this time, I actually went into the personal development section, which is, like, faux pas for an artist to go into those places. So I go and open this book, and it's a really big book, and it was called Awaken the Giant Within, and it was by Tony Robbins. And I opened up the book, and I'm like, this guy basically took the Bible and put in his own words and talked about personal development. But the reality is that everything, if it wasn't in my book, I would have thrown it across the room. And so I'm like, I can't, that's not where I'm going to go. That's not how I'm going to fix this, whatever's going on. Well, I got to a place in my life after losing my business, my car, my girlfriend. I'm 26 years old, living at my parents' basement. And I lost everything. And I just started saying, God, I don't know who you are, but I'm noticing some things in my life that don't make sense to me. So there has to be some other kind of entity or something out there. I had all these miracles that took place in my life. One example is I'm driving home 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm drunk. I'm drunker than drunk. And I'm driving home. There's two lanes going southbound towards home. And I'm like, that's the only time I had prayer life, is please God, I don't want to get stopped by a cop. That was my prayer life. Or if I'm like curling at the toilet saying, I'll never do it again. So that was my prayer life back then. So I'm driving down the road at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I heard an audible voice, turn to the right. So I took my steering wheel and moved it to the right, and up another car in the passing lane was coming up the wrong way. So if I didn't move over, I would have gotten hit. Now, I had so many of these things happen that I could not deny it and say, it just happened. Like, there's no way. That's stupid. Like, you can talk about serendipity, but, like, you have so many of these coinciding events, coincidences, and you start to think, well, maybe there's something else going on here. Well, I got to a place in my life where one of the friends that I grew up with, I was working at a grocery store at the time, but I had no way to get a job. Like, I had my parents drive me to work. And I remember seeing this guy that I grew up with.
His children.
Oh, okay. Bells from heaven. Yes, Lord, we hear you. We hear the angel choir in the air. So basically I got to a place where I had this friend, and I was like starting to like kind of flirt with the Bible a little bit and started reading my Bible because all hell was breaking loose in my life. And so I'm like, okay, I don't even know where else to read or where to go. And so I started looking at the Bible, and I'm like, okay, I need you to show yourself to me. And I started praying this prayer. And I saw this friend of mine, and every time I saw him, I felt an urgency to say, let's get together. Let's pray. Let's read the Bible. Let's talk. Let's find out who God is. And that he was a wounded guy because he was a pastor's son. And those guys they get it bad. I mean, it's just rough. So the pastor's son was not nothing to do with God. He left his wife that I hooked them up with in high school because she was after me. And they went to divorce. And I'm just being real. So, and then what happened was they ended up getting divorced, and I kind of felt bad about that whole situation. And he ended up getting a girlfriend, got pregnant, and one morning or one afternoon or something, he's pulling out of a gas station and a car hit him, and all three were killed in a car accident. So I go to this funeral, and I'm thinking to myself, now I want you to know, I already had fear of death. Like, I had anxiety and depression in this time period of and even with God. Like, I was struggling because I was reading the Bible, and like, how in the world am I not experiencing these breakthroughs? And I'm reading all these promises in the Bible, but nothing's coming to pass. Like, what in the world's going on here? I couldn't figure out what was going wrong. Well, I go to the funeral, and the strangest thing, it's really, honestly, I think it would trigger this whole path for me in a whole other way, is I went to the funeral, I look at my friend in the coffin, I'm freaking out because I just saw him a week ago asking him to start pursuing God with me and figure out who God is. And here he is dead. And I felt that sense of urgency. I'm like, how in the world, like, why did I feel that? And so I go to the coffin and I hear a voice. And I heard in my, this is the strangest thing. I still can't figure it out. I can't wait to go to heaven and talk to him about it because he's not answering me here on this side. But I heard, if you grab him, he'll resurrect. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, no way. Like, I'm thinking in my mind, I am not going to touch a dead body, and it's, no way. Like, and you understand, I had no grit for that. None. I was not raised around Pentecostals or Charismatics or anything. Nothing. No, I never talked about that stuff. So I ended up going home, and probably within a week, April 6, 2003, I had a conversation with God, and I said, God, you have been more good to me than bad. And I just had a really frank conversation with God, and I said, God, you've been more good to me than bad. But all these bad things, I realized that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and this is why this is happening. But then I said, I took it even further, and I said, just to be honest with you, God, like, the devil doesn't really deserve that much credit, because I also realize that I make decisions, and I took responsibility. I asked God for forgiveness, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was like a whole new world. To me, it was like everything in me, my lenses, everything. I looked at everything. Everything looked brand new. I looked at my parents' yard. I looked at everything, and I felt new. And then I started to dig a little bit further and try to understand, like, what was the disconnect between now and then? And I really started to understand Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This has been one of my life verses, 1 and 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I started to think about this. What does a mind renewal look like? And I truly believe that the number one thing that we as Christians, the number one thing is the act of getting our mind renewed is our number one focus. And what I mean by that is it's not so much that I have to do it as works. It comes out of a place of seeing the goodness and the kindness of God. Because the goodness and kindness of God is actually what brought my repentance. It's what changed my mind. It was the goodness of God that started to make me think about God differently. So I'm like, you're not a big jerk in the sky. Now, I want you to know, I literally walked away from God and flipped him off. And I said a lot of explicits. I remember the night that I did that. But God's kindness towards me, it just kept on coming. Now, I had to kind of give this groundwork because what I'm going to share with you is kind of where my journey is now and kind of some things in between. And I think it might be something very pertinent to you. I hope it's useful for you. Now, I'm not up here as an expert and have everything figured out, and I'm the guru by any. I'm not. I'm still figuring this thing called life out. And the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. And so I kind of have to embrace the mystery more. God has changed my views on a lot of things. I've gone, and I know people use this terminology and they use it differently, but I felt like I went through deconstruction, but I feel like I keep on going through this process over and over again, because I realize when things aren't working in my life, there's one constant equation, one variable in that situation, and it's me. And see, God says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, I've made you into a new creation. So it's already a finished work. It's something that's already been done. So he says that all his promises are a yes and amen. That means all the promises of God, I don't have to ask God for something he's already given me, because that's kind of weird, right? All I have to do is thank him for what he's done, receive what he's done, and that's really the whole, that's repentance. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that that by receiving his precious promises, you become partakers of his divine nature. So I really truly believe that mind renewal is receiving the promises of God. Because what you receive from God is you actually see his character and nature. By the gift giver. Can I ask them? I'm like, how is it that you can give gifts? And that's my job in this planet to do, is receive those gifts. How does that work? He says, because when you get the gift, you start to get to the gift giver. And I'm like, oh. You know, and I honestly believe that sometimes God will, and this is my personal view on this, is that I think sometimes God treats us like little grandchildren. You know, like the grandparent will go and give the candy to the kid because the kid will come around. And then after a while, you hope that kid grows up enough to have conversation with you. And I think that's the way God works. I think he gives gifts. He's unattached, but he's hoping to have a relationship with you. And after a while, you get mature enough and you're like, I'm not just going to go to God for the stuff. Because the stuff is not what it is. It really, your inheritance in the kingdom is not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus. And so, how to keep things simple in your theology, you're talking about victorious eschatology, you know, I've gone through all these different things, like people are freaking out right now, like it's the end of the world. Can I tell you something? Regardless of what your belief is about the end times, it says in the Bible that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church.
Amen.
So the question I have to ask for you, if you believe that there's no hope for us, then when is the expiration date for that truth done? Is it when the Antichrist shows up? Well, what about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Anyway.
Don't stop.
The book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is all about the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Not
the Antichrist. Oh my goodness.
It's like we're on the same path or something.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa. Whoa. So, anyway, I'm like preaching now. And so I'm going to bring it down to now. Okay, so obviously, we've gone through a lot of crazy stuff in the past couple years. Mm. And there's all different kinds of views on different things. And listen, there are some things that people call conspiracy theory that's actually happening, and there's also things that's not happening. So you gotta know like whose voice you're listening to. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you have to know, focus on whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is good. That's what you need to focus on. Some of these other things will get worked out, but if you're full of fear, then you're just gonna be with everyone else. And I don't know about you, I don't want to be in that place of fear. Now, I'll have to admit to you, I feel like I'm embodying the message that God has given me on a deeper level in this season. Like, I feel like I'm preaching to myself. Like, I probably always am preaching to myself. Maybe I'm preaching to myself right now. But the reality is this, is I realize that I need to embody and understand and become who God called me to be, and I realize that because, and I used to say this all the time, when the world squeezes us, they need to see Jesus. Right? And if anything comes out of that other than Jesus, then I have to realize there is a lie that I'm believing or some kind of wound that I have, and maybe I don't see this, and maybe I don't really know what it is. And so I've really been kind of noticing my life, this is just me being real, is I've been triggered. I've been triggered by things. I'm like, how in the world? Like, I thought in my mind by now, I'm like, I would have this thing figured out a little bit more than being freaked out about such and such. It doesn't matter whatever it is. You can put whatever in the blank that triggers you, and then to have the wrong response towards the enemy or towards a person rather than the enemy. That's the other thing I've been working through. It's like, okay, like we want to see justice, but at the same time, justice on the earth is actually looked upon where God can redeem a situation. I don't want anyone to go to hell, and I know that if I have some little bit of that, then how much more so does God have? Anyway, so I've been thinking about this whole thing, like during this pandemic, during all this stuff,
I've been thinking about all the promises, all the prophetic words, all his word has spoken over me. And I'm wondering, like, where I'm lining up in my life, and how is it, is my life not looking the way that I thought? Now, part of this is because I had the wrong thought of what it was going to look like. But part of the thought also is because I'm looking for circumstances to align up rather than the internal knowing and having faith to believe. And I realize that I have put a lot of my faith in external things, and as the framework of what I believed has been ripped out, because I've been looking at things outwardly, as those things have been taken away, I realize that I put my faith in the wrong things. I also realize that I've become more sophisticated in my ability to run away. Now, as a runner, running away from my problems, now the church, I can sit in the church, I can preach in the church, and I can run to Netflix, or I can run to that bowl of ice cream, or I can run to whatever that thing is. We just have a more sophisticated of hiding our wounds and hiding our situation. Now, what I don't want to get across here is I think sometimes we can become hyper-vigilant of navel-gazing and looking at ourselves and, what you know, like looking really deep and then going there. You never leave that journey of, like, that's the past. You actually live from a past-present paradigm. Like, I'm always going back to the past, and I wonder why it's propagating into my future. Why does my future always come into my past? Because I'm focused on the past all the time. So I do believe that there's truth to that. But rather, what if I live from this place of the present? Sometimes things will come up, and I'll go back to that spot, and then come back to this place of presence now, and then go towards the future. And this is kind of where I feel like a lot of believers are living from this present past paradigm, and they're never able to see the future of what God has for them, because we're still anchored in the past by our wounds and by our disappointments. And I want you to know that what the enemy meant for bad with COVID, actually, I believe, can work for our good. Because when we turn the heat up, all the junk rises to the top. And there's a lot of things that the church has put trust in and relied in that actually wasn't a strong foundation. And so we know what happens when there's not a strong foundation. What happens when something's built on sand? The storm comes, there's crashing. So if you start, listen, there's no condemnation to you and to myself. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself crashing and burning, feeling tired, I'm hoping this message will encourage you, because I don't believe that's the normal Christian life. I believe the normal Christian life is that we have victory in Jesus, and that he's good no matter what hell is going on around me. And I'll tell you this, I really truly believe that the desert is the way for us to walk out in the empowerment and the mission that God's called us to. But if we keep on bypassing our lessons, we keep on coming back to our lessons. It's like Groundhog's Day. You know, the whole story, you ever watch that movie? That story, there's actually a book, I didn't even know this, there's a whole book about this. And this guy lived like thousands of years. And the purpose of it was that he had to learn the lesson in order for him to move on. Well, some of us are still like stuck in this mode of the old self. Now, maybe we can pretty ourselves up and get more sophisticated with our language and how you doing? Blessed, highly favored. You know, we got that canned thing, right? And we don't really mean it. Like, you were just like fighting with your wife on your way over here because of whatever. You know? And so I want you to know, like, I'm not pointing fingers at any of y'all. I'm looking at myself. But the reality is that you are a new creation. But I've been thinking about this. I've noticed a shift in my own personal life. And sometimes we use a scripture like, a hope deferred makes a heart grow sick. And we stay there. Hope deferred makes a heart grow sick. Things just are deferred. It's just the way it is. And we're just going to have to wait. Well, I think Bill Johnson said that it actually is deferring hope makes the heart grow sick. By me deferring hope, my heart grows sick. But here's the thing. Abraham, Abe, he's an awesome guy. He's the father of our faith, and you can learn a lot from him. He didn't even have all the goodies that we have right now in the kingdom. He didn't even have all that. But Abraham, Romans chapter 4, I'm actually going to read from the Passion Translation. Romans chapter 4. This scripture has been coming to me over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm just going to read it. I'm going to start in verse 18. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless. I'm sort of Selah for a second there. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that it'll be impossible to count. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of having a son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined. Now, you notice something here. The normal Christian life that some of us have been taught is as a promise is not fulfilled, we actually start to defer hope and our heart grows sick. And we use it as an excuse. Well, my hope's being deferred. Well, Abraham actually grew in his faith to believe God's promise. And I would say the shelf life for being a man that could actually have the ability to have a baby, and for his wife on top of that, was slim to none as far as what the local scientist or doctor would say. Right? I mean, who would ever think that a doctor could be wrong about something? But did I say that loud? Not all doctors are bad, okay? Okay. No, seriously. Okay. So, having the son was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined. I'm like, you know what, God? I want that. I want to actually be more convinced of your truth, even if it prolongs. Now, that's a good desire, I think. Now, that means that I may have to put up with things for a little while and hold off for things a little while, but it's pretty amazing. So, by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child, he never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in faith as a father, to father a child, and because of his mighty faith, and convinced that God has all the power needed to fulfill his promises. I love that. God has the power. See, a lot of us lose hope because you're looking at your own power. But we have to look to God. Now, if you have a situation and you're in the baddest neighborhood, and you are walking by yourself, you might have your keys in your hand, ready to smack someone or something with them, or you might protect yourself with your mace or whatever. But imagine having Superman go with you into this neighborhood. You're going to like have a little bit of a strut. You're going to like, I'm a Superman. What now? What are you going to do to me? You got Superman, right? Does this make sense? Like, if you had Superman, you're in the worst neighborhood. Are you worried?
No.
Like, I got Superman with me. Well, you have Superman living inside of you, and he's a lot stronger than Superman. Because he has no weakness. He has no kryptonite. It's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Right.
All right? So the thing is that this is where we have to watch where our eyes go. Where are your eyes at? And here's the thing. I know there are two modes of life. You're either in faith or you're in fear. Now, I will say there's a continuum because there's a process that we grow through. And this process is I'll have less and less fear as I'm experiencing perfect love. Yeah. Right? But I think a lot of the reasons why we get stuck here is because fear is retarding us from coming into the perfect love. And it's like, okay, God, so what does that mean? That means, Lord, I need to experience you. I even tell him. I'm like, Lord, I've been praying a lot. I'm like, I want to experience you more than I ever have before. Because sometimes we can get in life and we can be like, well, that was the good old days. But what about now? Mm-hmm. What if now could be the good old days? Yeah. Right? And then next year could be even the better old days. I don't know how that works. But anyway, so we've been talking about for a long time. We've been talking about, the church has been speaking about this wealth transfer thing. We talk about finances. We talk about prosperity. We talk about all these things. And all hell is breaking loose. And I'm not saying this is not to bring fear to us. Because listen, regardless of what happens with the economy or anything, I want you to know you're part of kingdom's economy. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean if you're going to go and voyage, or however you call that, or go out to the woods. Whatever, okay, good. Have that. There's nothing wrong with that. But I do believe that regardless of the situation, when sin abounds, grace abounds so much more. It super abounds. So you realize that no matter what hell comes to you, heaven will come 100 times more in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. Now, things will move in your life when you start believing that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm always like that. Sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. Wait, what mind am I in right now? Where am I at? Where am I, here or here? Am I here in my head or am I in my heart? Because when I get in the presence of God, that stuff doesn't, fear's not there. It's like, it's not even there. I can't even be upset because I'm so blown away by God. And sometimes I'll just, if I feel down or I feel heavy or whatever, I'll keep on pursuing the Lord and I will move in the opposite spirit even if I don't feel like it. You're going to get yourself a move no matter what. I'm going to like, okay, so Timothy stirred up. He stirred up the gift that was in him by the laying on of hands. Sometimes you need to stir it up a little bit. Right? So, I will say this. Sometimes you have to fall apart before you get put back together. But for some reason in the church, we can't be messing with each other. And I actually don't feel like that with you guys. But all of us still, we still can do that to some degree. And part of it is like, well, I don't want to go and someone asks how you doing and be like, oh my, you know, and you start talking about all your laundry list. Now that doesn't work either. But I do think the church needs to learn how to be real.
That's right. Yeah.
Because that's what drew people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know? They saw his realness. So I noticed this in my life. Okay, so right now, if you look at what's going on in the world, you say, well, God has a future for you. But you're like, man, this is a bad time for the future, for the destiny. Right? Can I tell you something? That every single person in the Bible that had any power and walked in the power in the kingdom of God always came out of a desert. Always. There is no way to bypass this part. There's a guy named Dr. Robert J. Clinton. He did a study of thousands, tens of thousands of the leaders. And what he discovered is there's five or six phases that every leader must go through. Well, the sweet spot is the one phase called convergence, where all your gifts, your talents, your God history, all these things come together, and you're living out of the sweet spot of what you're created for. Now, the number one thing that he discovered that keep people from coming into convergence, there's one thing. It's for every single time. It's one thing. The inability to handle conflict. So I look at this not just external conflict, because here's the reality. All conflict is internal conflict. It's your interpretation of the event. It's the story that you bring to that event. Now, if your story is, You're victimized, everyone treats you wrong. What happens is when you meet people, you're actually saying, I'm victimized, everyone wants to treat me wrong, and then you wonder why people are suspicious of you. Because you're suspicious. Whatever you put out into the world is what comes back to you. Now, I'm not saying every bad thing that happens to you is because of you. But I am saying that even if it's not because of you, it's coming to you because God allowed it in his infinite wisdom to happen, which might not make sense to you. I just have to keep on going back to that God's good. And here's the thing, is that God wants you to level up. You know how we say this? This is a term, I'm still working on this little saying. But you know how they say different level, different devil? Have you ever heard that before? You go to the next level in God, there's another devil there, a bigger one. Well, I say another devil, there's another shovel. It doesn't work exactly the same. I'm working on it. But the reality is that the enemy's already been buried. Yeah. He's already been defeated. He's already under my feet. There's a gravestone. I'm stepping on his gravestone.
Do it.
Now, the only power he has is my agreements to his lies. Yes. That's what keeps me here. This thing right here. Why I'm setting my past is the agreements to the lies and the story. My story is so important to me. Now, some people get so upset. If you challenge their story, it's so real to them. They get mad at you, and they think, well, you're heartless. No, what if you have toilet paper? stuck to the bottom of your shoe. Do you want a friend that will tell you that there's toilet paper stuck to the bottom of your shoe? I'm that friend. I work with businesses. I've been coaching. I work with business leaders. I really believe the marketplace is where God's leading the kingdom of God. I believe that it's in the normal everyday life, guys. Yeah. That's where the church. The church is not here. This is just us gathering together and then going out. Because it's not about us coming and becoming cloistered with each other. It's about us going out into the world. Yeah. So the thing is that I've learned that I have to speak the truth in ways that people are not used to. It's not out of hate. It's not out of judgment. So if I look at you and say, dude, you got like toilet paper stuck at the bottom of your shoe. Now, if I told you that, am I coming at him or am I coming after the toilet paper? Now, what is this analogy? What is this metaphor? What is that about? Well, when I point at your toilet paper, your story, it's not really who you are. I'm not looking at your story and saying, that's you. The problem is that we identify with our bad emotions and we make it a part of our story and we attach a story to it. So when it gets challenged, our worldview gets challenged. And so our story gets challenged. And we know what happens about stories. Like, we know that there are campaigns for us to be fearful. Okay? There are marketing agencies. Their goal is to go after your pain points. To go after what's wrong in your life. And they're using it to manipulate you. But some of us are living out of stories that are not God's stories. See, every single one of you, I believe, I don't care about your story, I believe every one of you in this room is a world changer. Yes. The kids and the adults.
Come on.
Okay, if you're 100 years old, then look at Abraham.
Yes.
Come on. So here's a couple other scriptures. Matthew 11, 20 to 30 says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Another way to see what mode you're in, what kind of thinking you're in, are you in this or are you in this? Are you in fear or you're in faith, is by the heaviness of what you're carrying. Mm-hmm. If you feel heavy and you feel like you're tired and worn out and anxious, I want you to know there's something you're holding on to that's not yours. Now, that's not to pick on you. That's not to say, bad Christian, put out your hand and smack your hand, bad Christian. I'm saying you're holding on to something that's actually weighing you down. And I want you to know, they say 90%, I have to go and look at this a little bit deeper, but some people are saying that most sickness actually comes from the mind, 90% of it. Well, my grandpappy, I don't believe in, and if you do, that's okay, but I don't believe in generational curses. What I do believe is in generational mindsets, that we can take the mindset of other people from the past, and we pass down ideas and thoughts and stories. You know, there's just ways that we do things in our family. Don't talk about any of this stuff with any of your neighbors or your pastor. We have a way of hiding things. We have stories that we tell each other. These are the stories that we have. And I want you to know that there's a lot of these things are holding you back from becoming who God really called you to be. The thing is you're not a victim.
Amen.
You are victorious. Jesus overcame the world, and you are victorious because you're one.
If you say
that you're not victorious, you're saying that Jesus Christ is not victorious.
Well, that's
God. Now, I'm not being mean. I'm telling you, Darby himself has done that. What I'm saying is you cannot equate your life apart from him. And apart from him, you can do nothing. So with him, you can do anything.
Right.
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. He's not saying, come on, Christian. Jesus is not saying, come on, get along with this. You might hear stories from people. You might misinterpret what someone says to you. It can sound mean to you. But there are some, listen, to the kid that has a splinter in his behind, the father that's going to remove the splinter is looked upon as a bad guy. I know this story from firsthand. I was learning karate by my pastor. And I was in Philadelphia. And we had this long, like, to me it looked like 10 feet off the ground. It might have been like 4 feet. But I was small. And we're supposed to walk across this wooden plank thing and, like, be ninjas or something. Why I'm so nervous in the middle of it, I put my butt down. Now, I want you to know I have nothing back there anyway, so anything that hits her, it goes right into nerves and muscle. Okay? So I put my butt down, and I start scooting my butt, and I got a splinter. And I'm thinking to myself, my dad comes home, he's going to take the fire and burn a needle, and he's going to get hydrogen peroxide, and I don't want to tell him about that, because I know it's going to be painful. But here's the thing, as a child, if I would have left that in there, it would have been bad. I might not have had a butt cheek after a while, or, you know? I mean, it's bad enough for her to have nothing back there in the first place with keeping pants on. Sorry, too much information, but it's true. The point is that if someone comes to you and, listen, if you have people that love you and speaking in your life, don't interpret. Sometimes we're interpreting because if other people have been negative towards you, you're thinking automatically that person's after you. What if it's just you have a splinter in your behind, and that person is caring enough to actually say something about it? But here's the thing, that splinter is not the person. Your wounds are not who you are.
That's right.
Wait, some people will take a label. I have been this, and I'm this, and I'm this. And these labels are actually keeping us from experiencing the victory in Jesus, because the label is the story. This is why some people are so careful about what they say now, because everyone's so fragile with our words, and we have to dance around things all the time. Now, I agree, there are people that have done a lot of awful things. You know, I'll say this. I'm going to say this out loud. I'm actually going to say it out loud. You know what? There's a reaction to the gay community, and we wonder why we're dealing with things that we're dealing with now, but some of them have been hurt badly by the church. Now, I'm not making excuses for them, but I am saying that sometimes what we're seeing around us is actually because of wounds that they themselves have experienced. Let me tell you something. In fact, I've learned this. That every time a complaint or a negative thing comes out of your mouth, it's because of a need that's not being met.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you can start listening to people's complaints and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what need is there, it will unlock things.
Yeah.
You're like, what? I'm telling you. Every reaction is because of something of your needs not being met in Christ. So I've been going through this unraveling in myself. And I come back to the scripture, consider it pure joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. And you're like, yahoo, I'm going through tribulations. Like, can you imagine right now? Like, I don't hear a lot of Christians saying, it's COVID, yahoo! Right? Why is that? How in the world is that? It's consider it pure joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We don't like that word. Don't use that P word around me. Perseverance. That perseverance habits work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Do you understand that all the things you're faced with is actually a gym for you to build up yourself in your most holy faith? So I start looking, I'm just being straight up with you. So, I'm not trying to get sympathy or anything from anyone or empathy or anything. But about a month or two ago, my dad, he has a fistula where he has a hole from his back to his front, if you know what I'm saying. He has a hole in his colon to his bladder. And as far as it's concerned, the doctors send him home to die. And so we're probably being recorded, but I'll just say this. Then I had some other things in my family members where two of them actually overdosed the day after while he was in the hospital. And then 2 months prior to that, I had to approach a family member because she had a child and she's hooked on drugs. And so I had to approach her. So all these things, all the hell broke loose at the same time. And then I've been going through transition, going off the road more because I feel like I'm supposed to step into this place of leadership development and coaching and working with people in my community. But all this stuff happened and all my plans come to a halt. But then I notice, well, how I'm acting towards people around me. And so the people that are closest to you deal with the most junk. Because we project our pain on other people. And we want to find a reason. Sometimes we don't even realize we're being triggered, and the first thing we do is blame the person that's closest to you. Now, I will say this. I told my wife in the middle of this. I'm like, babe, I know that this is something's wrong. Like, I don't know what's going on with me. Like, I literally had a meltdown. I had mourning. It was awful, and I was like, what is going on here? Well, then I realized that there were things that I was not able to talk to my father about, that I wanted to talk to my father about. I'm thinking he's ready to go on the other side, and there's all these unmet things. And so I talked to a pastor friend of mine, his name's Dale Mass, and I talked to him, and he said to me, he says, go to your father not as a prophet or a leader, but go as a son, and have him bless you, put hands on you. And so I went, this is like 2 weeks ago, I went to him, and I said, Dad, I know this might sound strange, but he's a Christian, but he doesn't understand this whole process. And he said, it's weird that your brother was hurting, and I did the same thing 2 weeks before. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, like God's saying something to my father. Right, for him to do that. So he did that, and I just started melting in front of my dad. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I mean, my wife saw me at my heart, like one of the hardest times. And I'm like, and it's like, it's very hard when you're a leader because you're like, I don't want people to think that I'm a mess, but why am I believing that? Like, what is it for me to say that I'm not going through something? Mm-hmm. Like, then you guys can think, well, then this leader never deals with stuff because they've arrived. But that's not true. And then the enemy wants to keep you into a place where you can't say anything. And part of it is because we're taking care of other people. So we can't really talk about these things. But anyway, so I had all this stuff come up. And I was wondering, and I realized that there were lies that I was believing. And I couldn't go into the promised land for what dreams were in my heart. I've known since 2004 that I was going to go into coaching and into speaking. I knew that from back then. But it's been how many years? What's the math? Over 20 years that I've not stepped into it. And I circle around it, and I realize that I don't trust what I'm hearing, even though I can give prophetic words like no one's business. And that's not to brag. That's saying I can prophesy to anyone else real specific things, and then when it comes to me, why am I not hearing the Lord for myself? Because something's attached. I'm attached to that place in the past, and there's pain there that God has to go into to unravel. There are splinters that God wants to remove from me. And so I've been going through this process and getting these breakthroughs. And I have not arrived. But one of the things the Lord brought to me is in this consider pure joy when you go through various trials and tribulations. He goes down a little bit later on and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously without finding fault. Now listen to this. He's not even looking at you if you're jacked up. And you go and say something to him, you ask for wisdom, you ask for the way he thinks about things, he's not going to go and point your faults. He's going to give you the wisdom. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Instability is a sign that you are living between two different worlds. That's not a bad Christian thing. It's just a reality. So when we read the scripture, when I first read the scripture, I'm like, man, I'm hearing it like this. Don't expect to receive anything from me because you're double-minded. Because that was the religion. That was the legalism that I was taught. But God's saying, hey, this spiritual aspect of life exists. And if you're double-minded, your double-mindedness will actually abort the vision in you. There's only one thing that can make the word of God null and void in your life. It's the traditions of men. That's the only thing in scripture that says that can stop that. It's the stories that we attach to them for our life. It's the traditions that we pass on from generation to generation. Anyway, Isaiah 53, I'm almost done this. Surely he has borne our griefs. Now, when we think about this, when it talks about Jesus in Isaiah, it says, Jesus, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So the Lord already has your sorrows. He's already held on to your grief. When Jesus died on the cross, all of what you're going through right now was put on him. Okay? Yet we esteem him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his stripes we're healed. This is talking about physical healing and spiritual healing. Both are found in the atonement.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up to you is if you believe that you're saved by confessing your sins and you ask Christ into your life, then you also, then in the same scripture that says that he died for us to atone us for our sins, is the same scripture that you can believe him for to heal your heart. Yeah. If you have enough faith for him to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you have the same faith to believe that even your story and your situation can be healed, that those triggers can be removed from God. So you're not reacting to the world, but you're actually responding in love. Yeah. The problem is that we're not able to get traction in what God's called us to do because we're always putting out fires. Yeah. We're always going back to the past and dealing with this stuff. And I'm not even saying we're digging, like when you're dealing with your past, when I've had my brother here saying something to me, I'm triggered, I'm back in my past. Does what I'm saying make sense?
Yeah, amen.
I hope you're hearing grace. I hope you're hearing love. I hope that you're hearing hope for you. Not bad person, bad Christian, why can't you get yourself together? That's not the message that I'm sharing with you. So I realized that I'm double-minded and that I'm fragmented. And what I mean by that is I'm saying, part of me feels this, and part of me feels this, and part of me feels this, and part... Well, what are all those parts? What are those things? I can't go into this now. I'm still growing my understanding of these things. But we're fragmented. Our hearts are divided. Our minds are divided. And God wants to make us whole. There's wholeness that we can have in him. I noticed that I second-guessed myself. And I also realized that that wounds can actually bring blind spots. Sometimes you don't know why you're acting the way you're acting or why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. But God knows. So, Psalm 139, 23, 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Can I tell you, the offense that we think of when we think of God, he's not offended at you. He's offended for the fact that you're believing something that actually sees that you're made in his image and likeness. It's not about you being a bad person. It's that he's offended by the persona or the mask that you wear rather than living out of your truest identity, your truest self. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We are destroying sophisticated arguments." We are so good at telling stories. We're so sophisticated with it. You know, if I'm upset with someone, if I have an issue with someone, what I'll do sometimes is I'll freeze that person out and make them pay for what they did to me. I'll like, you know what, you offend me? So this is my old mechanism. I mean, you offend me? I'm not calling you or texting you. I'm going to let you feel the pain of me not being in your life. Yikes. Did you imagine Jesus saying that?
No.
I'm telling you, this is my own, I've noticed this in my own life. Like, why am I triggered when I'm around someone? Well, because I have some kind of problem with that person. I want you to know, in my life, I will say the uncomfortable thing. I will say something to somebody, I've done this with pastors. I said, is there an issue? And it might just be me. It just might be my own thinking. Because there's part of me that's still in the past thinking about what leaders have done, and I'm thinking, well, then I also realize that I also can mess things up. I might not come across the right way. I might have, I'm sure I'm not polished enough to sometimes get my message across. And so I'm thinking there's a possibility that I've been upset and mad about something. Well, I'm going to say to Matt, hey, bro, like, is everything cool? Like, I've done it. It's uncomfortable. I'll tell this to people in my life. I actually thought about people on my ride over here. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was like, I need to make a phone call. Not to go at them and say, dude, what's up? No, it's like, hey, is everything okay? And even if I had to go to them 3 times, it might seem needy, but it may just be something that God has to deal with in me. So we're destroying every sophisticated argument that exalts itself against that proud thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God. Do you know what that lie does? It actually challenges the goodness of God in your life. Mm-hmm. That's what it's talking about. It challenges the goodness of God. Any thought in you that's hopeless is a lie from the pit of hell.
Yes.
Any situation about a family member not coming to know Jesus, no matter how drunk they are, no matter what's going on in our nation, any hopeless thought in you is not, that is not in the mind of Christ. Could you imagine Jesus being hopeless about a situation? No. And I say, hell no. Every argument that's exalted and proud thing that sets up self against the true knowledge of God. See, if the enemy can make you believe that God's not good, then he's not good for you. So you're on your own, buddy. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to bring you, he wants to isolate you away from everyone and be offended to everyone, and he wants you to be by yourself so you destroy yourself. He doesn't even waste a demon on you. He's like, I already have this person programmed. And I'm going to let that program have its virus in that system, and she'll destroy herself. We take every thought and purpose captives to the obedience of Christ. Philippians 4, 6 to 8, do not be anxious about anything. Anything. Nothing. Finances. Nothing. But everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I'll tell you, that's one of the, I'll tell you, 90% of my prayer life is praise and thanksgiving. 90%. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'll do declarations, too. I'll do declarations, old school declarations, but I don't just use it as an incantation. I use it as, I'm declaring what God's already spoken over me. God, you said, everything I will do, I will prosper. Everything I put my hands to will prosper as I dedicate these things to you. I'll say these things out loud. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God, and the peace of God. This is how you know you're in the right mind. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts. See, it's the peace of God that will guard your heart. The problem is that you had to fight for yourself for so long. You had to survive. You had to build your own armor to protect yourself. Those defense mechanisms, that was your own armor. You had to do what you had to do to survive. But God said there's a better way. It's being vulnerable in Him and knowing that His peace will protect your heart and mind. You do not need to defend yourself or protect yourself. Yes, we have boundaries, but sometimes we use boundaries. Actually, we're just actually just isolating ourselves from people. Sometimes boundaries are not really healthy boundaries. It's just a way of Christianizing something and saying, I'm putting boundaries up. No, maybe you might need to get a heart thing taken care of too. Just a thought. And the peace of God that will pass all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You know what? Smith Wigglesworth is a guy that moved in signs and wonders. So he had healings. He actually took a guy out of a coffin or out of a bed and threw him against the wall and he was resurrected. Now that might offend you, but the guy knew who he was. And he did stuff. I don't say that everything he did was exactly what God wanted to, but the power of God works and it can manifest in different ways. Now, why am I bringing him up? Because he would not allow a newspaper inside of his house. Now, you can say, well, maybe that's wrong because I didn't know what's going on. No, if every time you listen to the news, you buy into the story of the bad news, and the enemy looks bigger than God, then you need to shut off the news.
Yes.
If you're going out and watching movies, and I'm not legalists at all, but if you're watching movies that are bringing up all this junk in you, stop it. When I go in, I love peanut butter cups and chocolate chip cookies. If I eat them all day, I'm going to get sick.
Yep.
Some of you guys are sick because it's what you're eating, it's what you're dieting on. Mm-hmm. You know, if I were to take a whole thing here and put golf balls, here's one big box of green golf balls, or let's make this black, and then we'll make this one all full of red. This is all the negative thoughts, this is all the thoughts of Christ. If I were to go and take your golf balls off all your thoughts for a day, we have over 10,000 thoughts in a day. So how many of those thoughts are green or black or red? And if your amount of black overcomes the red, then you are not thinking about whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is a good report. Yeah. I'm trying to like give five messages in one. But the reason why is I felt like I'm supposed to share this. Now, it's not comfortable for me to share these things because I'm being vulnerable with you. You know?
Thank you.
And, yeah, you're welcome. You know? I just hope I don't have a vulnerability hanging over my leaf, you know? It's a real thing.
So, I am ending this, I'm landing this plane. But what I want to do, this is not going to be like a big thing, but I want to do is I actually want to, I really believe in having an activation. And I want you to know where this is going to take minutes, and then we're done. We need some water. I mean, I'm all fired up, guys. You know what God's judgment is? God's judgment is the thing that actually destroys you. He goes after the thing that's destroying you. That's God's judgment. He's going after the thing that keeps you from Him. And so, there is something about God judging something, not in a sense of judging you. He's judging the thing that gets in between. Now, if you hold on to things, you can be destroyed. You can be destroyed by your own thing you're holding on to. The heaviness that you're carrying will destroy you. It will hurt you. It will hollow you out. It will make you, you won't be able to connect with people. You won't have friends. You'll wonder why you're not having friends, because everyone's afraid to be around you, because every time they get around you, you're triggered. Now, what we need to do is, as adults, as mature believers, is grow in a place where we're not triggered by your triggers. So, here we go. So we're gonna go through this, and so I want you guys to close your eyes.
So I'm just gonna guide you through this. This is real simple, and I will say this. I'll preface this. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist, psychiatrist, but I do believe in the power of prayer, and I do believe that some of you guys are gonna leave here 100 pounds lighter. So, here goes. I want you guys to think of something that maybe recently that has been triggering you, an event or something. We're not going to stay here. We're not going to camp here. But I want you to think of something. It's probably really easy to find something. Right? So, Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal what is the event that took place when this started to happen. You don't have to force anything. You don't have to make anything happen. If nothing comes to mind, it's okay. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll show us why we're going down this path, why we're reacting to things. And here's the other part of this, is I want you to identify what that emotion is. Is it despair? Is it anger? Is it frustration? I want you to identify what that is. Now, the thing is with this is sometimes we say, oh, well, I'm angry, I'm frustrated. We take this on as our identity, but we're not doing that right now. So the other thing is there unforgiveness? Is there unforgiveness in your heart towards someone? Now, you might be like, I don't know if I can forgive right now. I'm not going to obviously force you to do anything, but I want you to know that unforgiveness is poison, that you're poisoning yourself with unforgiveness. Now, Jesus did say, forgive, or you won't be forgiven. Now, I can't go into all that right now, but I will say this. I do believe there's a process, and some of you guys might need to have someone that you can talk to about this and go deeper. So if there's something of unforgiveness or there's a sin involved, I just want you to ask God for forgiveness for that sin. The next thing I want you to do is ask God to remove that trigger, that emotion. Now tell Him that you received the healing in your heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for removing that emotion from us, that trigger. We receive your healing. Now I just want you to thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now ask Him. Now I want you to know that this, whatever's coming up for you right now, and you can take this and actually take this, you can take this with you. You can take this and work on this a little bit later on. But you would ask Him, Lord, what is your thought? What would the thought that you would like to replace with this? What is a hope-filled thought that could happen? Maybe it's a family member that you feel hopeless about. Ask God for a picture for the future, His future, what He decides that He wants for that person. Maybe it's your situation. Maybe it's something you're dealing with. Ask Him for a picture or remind you of a word that's been spoken over you or a promise. So lastly, I want you to bring up the first emotion or the first memory that you had, that you realized where the trigger was coming from. Go back to that memory. And I want you to see how you feel that.
Do you feel like there's something coming up for you? Or do you feel like it's something that's gone? Because what I believe is God will neutralize those triggers in you. And he'll have those emotions. Well, you can have a memory, but you're not going to have the attachment to that memory anymore. Now, only you can tell me, only you can tell yourself this, see if it comes up. Now, this, what I shared with you is a very simple framework, and this is more done because of the time, but I will say this, is that you guys can open your eyes. What I'm saying is this, is that this is a process going through. I want you to know I'm doing this. This is a process. And what will happen is you'll start to realize you're not reacting the same way. I'm going to tell you, this healing that I've been going through, I've actually lost weight, literal physical weight, because of some of the things I've gone through and I held on to. I've lost physical weight because of the healing in my heart. Some of us are carrying on, and listen, I'm a big boy, so I can pick on myself, but you might feel like some of us have grown bigger because we've comforted ourselves. Some of us have other issues. Sometimes there's other issues going on. Sometimes it is chemical. But some of it is just a way of protecting ourselves. I was a small kid, and I was picked on ferociously. And I realized, what happened to me? Well, part of this was because of me protecting myself. What you'll start to notice is that, this is real simple. It'll come up for you. But if you keep on noticing these moments, this is what I do. This is one last thing. So what I'll do is to say something to me triggers. My wife says something. And I'm like, or she does something, right? Like, she does something, I'm triggered. Well, okay. So I'll say, instead of saying I am angry or frustrated, I'll say, something in me feels angry. Something in me feels angry, rather than me just saying, oh, I feel angry. And then I'll say, Lord, show me, and just by stepping back from that, instead of jumping down someone's throat in that moment, this is what David did. I think this is when he strengthened himself in the Lord. It's in that moment, I'll say, I recognize that it's there. Emotions are actually not bad things. Like, God gave them to us. That's to show you, this is like your check engine light. Like, your check engine light comes on. You're not like, oh, my check engine light comes on, something, you know. It's just an indicator. So your emotions are meant to, you can be angry and not sin. It says in the Bible. I think a lot of us are angry and we're sinning, but you can be angry. You can see injustice. And I don't think it's wrong, but I think it's if you're triggered and you're flying off the handle, or you, sometimes we'll do fight or flight. We'll fight someone, or we'll run away. Or sometimes we'll freeze. But I truly believe, this is what I'm going to end on. I truly believe that this church, and I've said this, I've prophesied this over the last time I was here, is I truly believe this church is meant to affect the community. We can't just sit here this whole time and just work on ourselves and not go out there. When you go out there, when things come up for you, it's just going to seal the process. And I'll tell you something else. One of the things I tell people, if you're depressed or anxious, one of the best things for you to do is find someone you can help. There's someone that's worse off than you. You might think you're a hot mess, but as soon as you start focusing on someone else, it really removes yourself from the equation. But here's what I believe, and I'll say this. I have literally have been tuned in to some conversations about millions, if not billions of dollars being transferred. This is firsthand. This is not conspiracy. This is firsthand experience from someone that I know and trust. Where billions of dollars are being funneled into the kingdom of God. Jesus is calling. Make sure you don't miss that call. Billions of dollars are being transferred. Millions of dollars are being transferred to missionaries in Africa from oil sheiks in Dubai. They're Muslim. They're Islamic. They don't believe in the way we... But the money's still gone because they have so much money they don't know what to do with it. When we talk about the wealth of the wicked, we need to say about bad people. And that's true too. But wicked actually means twisted. Anyone that's outside of Christ, including ourselves sometimes, we can be twisted. Okay? We have twisted thoughts about God. But I'm going to tell you this. I have had seen more prophetic words come to pass in the past 2 years than I have in my whole life. I don't get this. I believe that our season's always now. And I still wrestle with this, but there's an acceleration that's going on. And I'll tell you this. The kingdom of God is advancing. And we could be a part of that. None of you are left out. None of you are left out of this. Not one of you. Every one of you is important to what God's story is.
Yeah.
See, we got to give up our story for His story. Mm-hmm. And His story is much better than our story. Right? Mm-hmm. I believe that this church is going to experience this. I believe that a lot of you guys that are here, some of you guys who came in here and might have been a hot mess and you've had love and you have people around you. I know there's love here. And you've been going through your mess, and sometimes you're going after the same people that are trying to help you. That's okay. We know that. Sometimes, I'll tell you, I had a dog, it's a family member to us. This dog, Benji. It was a little poodle. And he was so cute and so fun and so nice. And I was like probably 14 years old. And one day, Benji ran out and he got hit by a truck that was going too fast. And he was on the road. And I watched him right in front of my eyes, getting hit by the truck. And my first reaction was to pick him up. And you know what he did? He bit me. But he didn't bite me because he was mad at me. He bit me because he's in anger or upset or pain. He's in pain. Some of us bite those who are closest to us. We have to realize that they're just putting a hand out to help you because they love you. So we have to learn. You give us grace because we're still trying to figure this out ourselves. But I will say this. I truly believe in this house. I believe. I actually am 90% off the road. Why am I coming here? Not just because it's an hour and a half away. That's not why. That's not why. It's because I really believe in you guys. I really do. I believe. I believe it so much. Every single one of you. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I'm excited what's going to happen with you. Yeah, I'm excited. What's your name?
Louisa.
I'm excited because God's doing a lot of things in your heart. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what the Lord says? He says that you have power, love, and you have a sound mind. Yeah, you're an overcomer. That's who you are. You're an overcomer. Do you know your number one gift that you have inside of you? The one thing that you're going to share with the world the most, if you let it out, you have the joy of the Lord in you. You're an atmosphere changer. You're going to change atmospheres. Right? What's your name?
Liz.
Liz? Liz, you have an amazing heart, and I see women around you, and I see you speaking in their lives. I see you encouraging women to step into the empowerment that God created them to be. And I see you ministering, and I see you discipling. And I believe that you have a story to share. Because you have a story of how God brought you together as a couple and as a family. And I believe you guys are like the Incredibles. Everyone, who's Jack Jack? Are you Jack Jack?
He doesn't have any other Jack Jack.
So we have a couple of them. Yeah. Right? This is where God asked me, what's your name?
Abraham.
Abraham? Hi, Abraham. you look good for your age. You got a lot more hair than I thought. Nice to meet you. So Abraham, I see creativity all over you. Like I see storytelling. I see art. I you got this adventure side too that might make your wife's hair or your mom's hair gray. But I feel like you have a lot of adventure in you, and I see you doing a lot of cool things. Like God, you don't have a lot of fear, and like you'll just go and do things. And I believe that God, that you are bold as a lion. but you also have a really good heart. Like, you watch out for people,
yes.
And you have a heart like your mom in that way. Like, you have, God has given you great discernment, and you can tell if someone's emotions are off. Like, you can tell when people are not, when they're not doing well, and you are an encourager. So you'll actually go and encourage people.
Amen.
So you're an encourager. Yeah. And your dad, what's your name?
Wesley.
Wesley, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Wesley, you have that pastor's heart in you. You have a heart. You're like, well, I don't want to be a pastor. I just told you your thought. Can I tell you something? You have a heart of a shepherd. A pastor is not just the guy that stands up here.
Right.
You have a heart of a shepherd. You're David. You have a heart of a warrior, and you have a heart of a lover. Here's the thing. You actually care about people. You genuinely care about people. And you know what? I can see you working with some guys and speaking their life, but I see it in the marketplace. You got so much in you. I want you to know, she says it all the time. Now it's time for you to start believing. Not your hand with this. Bad boy. He gets away with so much, doesn't he? Is that a smile? That's why. Oh, I see. Guys are world changers. That's what you are. I'm not just making this stuff up. I don't know you. Right? What's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah, you have the heart of helping people get their hearts healed. I see God sending you places. I see you going to different nations. I see you working with the kids. And that's not just because you're a woman, because you have a heart that wants to go out and heal people's hearts. Because you know that God has healed your heart. You have that mama's heart in you. You have a mama bear heart too. You're a protector.
Yeah.
And what you'll notice is that people will come to you for advice. They'll come to you for, they're sharing their hearts with you because they feel safe around you. That's because you don't gossip. You never were like the other girls around you. And then for a while, the enemy used it as a heyday to make you feel like you weren't enough. But what the Lord was doing, he was training you out in the wilderness because you're an overcomer. And now the same people that actually rejected you are going to be the same ones that come to you and say, Sarah, what is it that you have? What is it that you have in your heart? Please tell me. I'm going to tell you, this is literally going to happen. You're literally going to have people that want nothing to do with you in years past, they're going to come back to you. And you're going to be like Joseph with your brothers that threw you in the pit. You're actually going to have, God's going to bring healing and restoration to families because of your heart not holding anger towards them. And Joseph said, well, the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. It's okay. You're meant for nations. Now, I do believe it's not just physical nations. It's different people and ethnic groups. But I actually see you going overseas. I see you going places with the Lord. I see it. See, the thing is that there's a dream inside of you. Maybe it's been hard for you to dream because you're in survival mode. But what happens when all your needs are met? You start thinking about the future. You have a hope. You're like, my goodness, I got things inside of me. You ever notice when you're on vacation, you think about certain things you don't think about when you're running around? That thing that you think about that you wish that you were doing, what if that was a dream from God? And you go back to busyness of life. You maybe have a time away from people and all the craziness, and you start thinking about things. What if that is what God has for you, but you haven't been able to quiet yourself enough to hear God's voice in it? What's your name?
Bonnie.
Bonnie? Nice to meet you, Bonnie. She's like, why did they pick me? Bonnie, I want you to know, like, it's almost like I'm hearing the Lord, he's bragging about you and how much you've worked through. And what he's showing me is you had to struggle a lot. And you went through a lot of struggle. And there's things right now that God is releasing. He says, I just want it. He says, I want to give you this. I want to heal your heart. He has a plan for you. You're meant for love. You're meant to thrive. Here's the thing. The enemy for so long has stolen your voice. Made you feel like you're not worthy enough. You're extraordinary. God says that you're extraordinary. He made you. You're beautiful. You have everything you need. You might not feel like it right now, but God has everything. He's like, I want you to know that you're meant to experience true love. That loneliness, that feeling of like you're trying to do all the right things but not seeing the breakthrough. Some of this is because of the stuff you're carrying. The Lord said, just give it to me. He says, you're not meant to carry that. I have a lot bigger back. I'm a lot stronger than you. You're strong, but give it to me. He's like, how do I do that? I'll tell you, I've even physically just put my hands out and just gave it to God. I laid it at his feet. I'm like, I can't. You want to know something? You're strong. You're not weak. You're strong. You're very smart. You're a hard worker. Every job that you do and you've done well, and because you are actually doing the work that no one else wants to do. It's because you have a heart of a servant and you have integrity in your heart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's God put that in you. You have integrity. You do these things without people looking. You pick up trash. You do things that no one else will do. Dude, this is you guys. I'm telling you, like it's so funny when I give a prophetic word. I say I just fall in love with people when I see God's heart towards them. It's like, wow, yes, I see this in you. What's your name?
Megan.
Nice to meet you, Megan.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's So I see, and I'm almost done. I promise, I'm almost done. I know. My words are getting faster, though. I just have to do it really fast, like the pharmaceutical commercials. So you're a game changer. You have a leadership inside of you. So, I mean, you got a lot of leadership. And that you're very strong. And you can experience what it feels like to be misunderstood and for people to feel intimidated around you, but you just love. You just love deeply. And you want to connect with people. And some people are like, what in the world? Who is this? She's like the Tasmanian devil. She's strong. When you speak words, you have such conviction. You have such a belief. You come from a place of knowing who you are, and you're growing in this exponentially. And the thing is that some of the same people that reject you are actually going to be people that you lead. The same people that reject you are the people that you're going to be speaking into their lives, that same kind of person. Because you're not going to allow anything to hold you back. Like, whatever you do it 100%. And your 100% is like 300% of someone else's 100%. But I do hear the Lord saying, I just want you to be still and know that I'm God. He says, I will make your righteousness shine like the noonday sun. You don't have to explain yourself. He says, I am your PR campaigner guy. He says, I will go and make a way when there's no way. Yeah, so beautiful. I see that. I see God giving you you're a wordsmith, and you're gonna write word. You're gonna write things down, and it's gonna be such deep, transformational insight, revelation from God. And I see you doing these little tiny like snippets of just writing this, and I feel like your words are gonna set people free. I also believe your physical words. Like I see God have a microphone to your mouth, and what I believe that is God is about to magnify the message that's inside of you. And this season is about getting clarity on what God's put inside of you. Here's a beautiful thing about you. is that you are like on the operation table letting God do whatever he needs to do, even if it hurts. And you've gone through a big season of this. But I want you to know you're coming off the operating table. And you're getting healed up very quickly. And you don't have to make anything happen. And you're going to come out and you're like, wow, this is a whole new world for me. And where you saw rejection, you're going to see more people that are not just rejecting you, you're going to see hurting people. And you're going to see people that would run away from you, and now they're going to run towards you because they're like, what is going on with you? I see you being able to bring people. The spirit of counsel is on your life. I actually see you bringing healing into people's hearts. That's what I see. Watch and see. Watch and see what the Lord's going to do. It's going good. Yeah. I mean, every time I see you, you're like just growing leaps and bounds. I mean, you got more life in you. I mean, you talk about having a garden out back. You got a garden inside of you. And people will eat from the fruit of your life. You got so much fruit. Your fruit has fruit. It just multiplies. You guys are in so much multiplication. People are going to come under the shade of the grace that overshadows your life. Yeah. God's releasing things. He's speaking things through you guys. Like it's like the leadership's going to a whole new place. Because you're humbled by it. You're like, wow, this is amazing, God. Like, we're looking at the story and like, oh my goodness, how in the world, in the middle of all this stuff, this is happening. Because you realize you're going to grow stronger. You're not going to grow weaker.
Praise God.
It's so good. Now, are you guys...
Frank and Keedra.
Okay, cool.
Rachel,
we're
Texas in connection.
Yeah. So I want you to know, like, I really have not looked at your Facebooks because if I had anything for you, I don't want it. Not that I can't give you from natural knowledge, but if I had something, I want to make sure I gave it to you from that place. So, what I see a picture.
Oh, wait, is this for us?
Yeah.
I'm standing up, bro.
Yeah. So I see this picture of this, of these roots. It's like I see these two fruit trees. And you were in different soil, and the soil wasn't the right place for the kind of fruit that you want to bring. And you found for a while that you were dug up and you've been carrying this dirt around with you and your roots are just hanging. And it's like, where do we belong? Where are we? And this has been going on for quite some time. It's like, once you experience certain breakthroughs, you're like, how in the world is this going to work? And the enemy wanted you to believe that there was no place for you. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. And you're like, I don't want to, I just want to be where God's planting you. And I just believe, and I'm not just saying for here, but I believe that you are being planted. And that your roots are going to go down deep. And I believe that there is the heart for not just this neighborhood or this town or this area, but for the world. Mm-hmm. But the Lord's saying, as you are growing now in the soil that I'm giving to you, that you will grow exponentially, and in this process, the Lord will send you out, and you'll come back, and send you out, and come back, and send you out. Right now, you guys are on a bridge, and that bridge is actually to bring you into the dreams of God, because for a long time, it's been in your heart what God's putting inside of you. You're like, I see it, you step into it, we're not seeing the fruit of these things. What's going on? Why am I, and it had nothing to do with you. It had to do with where you're planted. Mm-hmm. Now the Lord is going to bring cross-pollination. And you're going to have people speaking into your life that you never even thought was even possible.
Come on.
And see, here's the thing about you guys. Yes, you love the supernatural. But you love even more community. And being involved with family. Mm-hmm. And that this is the season of feeling family. And not feeling like orphans, and feeling like, wow, I don't fit in, and why do people misunderstand my zeal for the Lord? God has saved me through so much. And then why I came into this kingdom believing for the good, and I'm experiencing the bad, but the only you're experiencing is the parts of that you are going to bring healing to. The same areas. It's like, wow, there's so many things that are wrong. And God said, yes. He says, this is what you're going to speak into.
Amen.
And you are worthy of the calling that God's given you, sir. Not just for your wife. She's powerful.
Stand up. Receive this word. Come on. Give it to us.
And I just hear the Lord saying gently, he says, stop talking yourself out of your inheritance.
Yes.
You are a man of faith. You are not a man of fear.
Yes.
You're a faith man.
Thank you.
You might be big, but you got a bigger heart. Your heart can't even contain what you have inside of you. The Lord says, you're just as powerful. You guys are together as one. You're together as one. And what you admire in her, and what she sees in you, and what she speaks into you, you're going to start right now, like never before, believing. The Lord saying, I hear the Lord saying, he says, I want you to know that the Lord has given you a sense of, like, you're just like, I want to move on. I feel stuck, or I feel like I know there's more, and I feel like I'm not really, like, I lost the grace for what I used to do. Like, I don't feel like this is what I'm supposed to do anymore. And it's like, I don't feel like I'm ready to go here, so I'm stuck between these two different worlds. And the Lord's like, listen, I'm building a bridge for you now. He says, I'm bringing family to speak into your life now in a whole new way. Because you know what it's like to feel on your own. So you'll spot other people like you that are sitting in the church that might have not been used to all the things they're seeing around them. And you're going to be able to speak into those things. Hey, I remember when I experienced the kingdom of God. It was so different than what I was used to. And you're going to be able to speak into that. Brother, you have so much inside of you. So much. So much is coming out. I mean, like, bucketfuls of things. You have wisdom. You're smart. But I don't think the way other people think. You're smart. You know what you have? You have emotional intelligence. Some guys just cut themselves off. Even when you were back in the day, even in moments where you just, like, all the other guys were doing this, you didn't feel comfortable. No matter how hard that they showed themselves to be, you couldn't do it. You tried to do it. It didn't work. So I just believe that this is the time. What the Lord's going to do is he's going to keep on bringing healing, and the story is shifting, and the message is coming out. The Lord's going to define the message, but the message can only get unlocked by the community that God's bringing you. And I believe I believe that God, there are people, you know, you feel like Elijah, where are all the other prophets at? You're going to find all these hidden ones. Weird ones. Like Matt. But then you're like, this is what I'm meant for. A bunch of crazy island misfit toys. I said that over you guys before. Do you remember that? Yeah.
We have talked about that.
These are misfits. These are the misfits that are world changers. You're not meant to fit in the world or the church.
Yeah.
You're meant to go outside.
Yes.
You guys are meant to do things in a weird way.
Yes.
Even the ones that seem normal.
Come on. Good.
So I bless you guys. I bless you guys. I will speak this last piece. I speak financial breakthrough for you. I speak a raise of finances coming over you. A surge of these things. Because you know what you would do. You know about the property that you would have. You know about the plans of having a place for people to get trained up. You have all these things in your heart. You think that was given to you by you? What a God idea.
I just had a vision last night that God was handing me stacks of cash.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but you know you're going to give. You guys are givers. You guys give when you don't even have. How many times have you seen this faithfulness? You don't lose anything You didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything. You're actually coming in and receiving. Anything else that you had before that you felt like you lost, the Lord's just giving you an exchange. He's giving you an upgrade of all the things that you can say, I lost this, I lost this, I lost this, I lost this, I lost this. Now he wants to 100 times better give you a better version of that. So I speak that over you. So Lord, we seal up these words. Lord, even for the people that get words, Lord, I pray that they'll hear your voice. I pray for the healing, Lord, in their hearts to just, I pray that they would not stop things, that would not stop the flow. But Lord, I pray that they'll receive everything. Lord, I pray for transformation in their hearts. And Lord God, I pray for the roots to go down deep. And I pray for a refreshment to come over them. Lord, I pray that they would not stay in a place of being stuck in the past, but they'll be in the present, in the now, and for the future. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.